Now, turn back to Revelation 6. Revelation chapter number 6. And we've been studying, and I want y'all to get involved. And some of you did get involved this week. I've got some messages. I've got some questions by way of messages. I've got questions by way of email. I've got some questions just ask me personally. And as we're studying this, I am not trying to meet a timetable. I really want you to understand what I'm teaching you. Amen. Understand the Word of God. And I want to say this to you. If you're here, if you're ever going to be a pastor, here's what you do as a pastor. On Sunday morning, you need to get up and just, with all you got, preach to sinners and backsliders and try to get them right with God. Sunday night, you ought to challenge your church to grow right for God. Then Wednesday night, you ought to get in the Bible and just teach them and feed them and preach books to them. And that's what I've been doing. I've been preaching the book of Revelation and teaching the book of Revelation. Now, Revelation 6, I'm going to make a correction. You see, you are going to correct something you've said. Yeah, write that down first. No, it's not the first time. This is what it meant. Sometimes you say something you don't mean, so I'm going to correct it just a tad. You remember I've been preaching on Revelation 6 and these four horses. I said the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Let me rephrase it. Can I rephrase it? It's actually the four horses of the apocalypse because there's only one rider, and he is the Antichrist. I don't want that confused. I don't think you were confused, but I don't want that to be confused. Now, let's look in this chapter again, and I did get some questions, and I'm going to stop and answer them. Some of them won't take long. Some of them might take a few minutes, and I don't know. And by the way, I got this young man with a microphone over here. And if you got a question when I'm answering questions, you be sure to just say, hey, I got a follow-up here. Now, don't ask me who King's wife was because I'm not talking about that tonight. But let me read these verses again. This is where a lot of your questions came, and I've been doing a lot of teaching. A lot of y'all been picking it up. I can tell you are, and I'm glad. If you're online, please share this service tonight. The Bible said, and I saw, remember the teaching, when the Lamb opened one of the seals. By the way, it is the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, that opens the seven seal book, which is the title deed of the earth. I heard, as it were, a noise of a thunder, one of four beasts coming, saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. That is the Antichrist. That is not Christ. When Christ comes, he's come with a sword that proceedeth out of his mouth, which is the word of God. Amen. And this Antichrist is going to come in deception. He's going to fool many. By the way, there's a bunch of people getting fooled today. How many of y'all agree with me, the spirit of Antichrist here already? Wonder how much, why is it some of the people that used to hold the truth, they don't hold anymore? Because the spirit of Antichrist is here already. You agree with that, does that? He's here now. He's deceiving people now. We got a great Jubilee lineup, by the way. There's people that I used to have in Jubilee that I cannot have anymore. They done flipped out. Amen. And that's good preaching. They flipped out. Literally. They've got away from God's word. They don't believe the King James Bible anymore. They're into this contemporary rock kind of Christian music. That's one guy that used to come here and could preach the house down, and he has some classic sermons that I thought, well, he denied them all. You say, why? Because the spirit of Antichrist is right here, and the Antichrist is a deceiver, and there's many will rouse up and say, I am Christ, and there are many people being deceived today. Hey, you, I talk about that Calvinist crowd, that Reformed crowd. You know what's happened to them? They've been deceived. They think they're intellectual, but they're not. They're really foolish. I don't know where in the, how in the world you can't, you know, how, let me ask y'all a question. What's whosoever mean? What's all mean? Boy, what a big, deep thought that is. Somebody told me that we need to read what whosoever really means. Well, I looked it up. It means you and me and everybody. God's Son died for everybody. But there's an Antichrist. There's a false Christ. And His Spirit is here right now. Good preacher, Reverend. But anyhow, let's read on. I don't want to re-preach all this, but it is pretty good, though, isn't it? And when it opened the second seal, I heard a second beast said, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. Now, the rider doesn't change, but the horse changed. And that red speaks of war. And power was given unto him that sat there on the earth. Set thereon to take peace from the earth, and they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And I talked about the wars last week of the tribulation period. This is a conventional war because it speaks of a sword. That was the conventional weapon back then. We showed you in Revelation 9 that there will be a nuclear war in the book of Revelation. Let's go on. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And then behold, a black horse. Now, this is where we were in our study. Then I got inundated with a bunch of questions. Now, let me answer a few questions. There's a couple of them. There's a great questions. Evidently, it's not totally clear. Maybe I've not made it totally clear, but I'm going to make it clear again tonight. Will people that are saved be here during the tribulation period? Or will the church? I think that ought to be rephrased. Now, let me rephrase the question from the person that asked it. Will the church be here? Absolutely not. The church raptured out in Revelation 4:1 and through verse 4. You see the church are represented by the 24 elders. By the way, the church will not see one moment of the tribulation period. Now, let me answer it. But there's another statement I want to make. There will be people saved during the tribulation period. And they will be called what I call tribulation saints. And some of them will be martyred for the faith. You read at the end of this chapter, they're under the altar saying, how long is it going to be until you avenge our death? They will be a great slaughter because, see, there are going to be some people get saved during the tribulation period. But here's what I believe. I don't believe anybody will be saved in the tribulation period that was called by grace and the Holy Spirit during this period. Because they're going to believe a lie and be damned. Let me tell you, folks ain't getting saved right now. When it's free, when it's open, when the Holy Spirit's flowing freely, do you think them people who rejected God will believe Him when they can't eat meat unless they take a mark of the beast? Amen. I do believe there'll be a revival during the tribulation period, but I believe it'll be a lot of the African nations and a lot of nations that's never heard the word of God, because the Bible said the gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout that whole period of time, and they will be folks saved. And I'll get to that. I don't know if I'll, that's in Revelation 7. I'll show that to you, and I may even touch on that a little bit tonight. So here's the answer to that question. The church, we won't spend any time in the tribulation period. But there will be people who are saints and called saints And the devil's going to make war. The dragon will make war against Israel and the saints. But those saints are not New Testament saints. They're tribulational saints. And I'll show you that. That's in Revelation 7. I may refer to it in a moment, but I wanted to answer that. That's a good question. Now, this question was asked a little bit kind of prior. It's some of the prior teaching, but I'm going to go ahead and share it because somebody asked it, and it won't take me about a moment. But it's in reference to something we've already taught, and it was in Revelation chapter 2. If you remember the faithful martyr Antipas, some people taught that Antipas was martyred in Geneva, Switzerland. Now, I want to say this, he was not. He was actually martyred in Pergamos. He was martyred by the Emperor Domitian, who put those people between 90 and 100 A.D. literally through hell on earth. He was martyring people right and left. And this faithful pastor who John the Apostle planted in Pergamos during the time of Nero, and he was a faithful preacher to those who were in Pergamos. Do you know how he died? Let me share how he died. Because it's important. Because, see, there's a lot of people died for our faith. And, by the way, there are going to be a lot of people die for the faith in the future. I'll tell you how he died. Let me share that. He died. He was put, boy, this is just how ruthless people can be. He was put into a brazen bull altar and burnt. And he was put there because that was the altar they used to cast out demons. And they thought by his martyrdom, it would cast out demons. And ladies and gentlemen, when we get to, I want you to look at something. Turn at the end of Revelation 6. I want to show you something here. I want you to see this. Look down at verse number 9 so I can show you this mass martyrdom that's going to take place. And when he had opened the fifth seal, that's a little bit beyond where we're teaching, I saw under the altar the souls of them which were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on the earth? Our blood on them that dwell on the earth. And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So during the tribulation period, there's going to be a whole lot of people. By the way, friend, if you don't take the mark of the beast, you're going to have a mark on you. Right. Yep. Amen. Yes, sir. By the way, I'm glad I'm saved. Have I said that yet? So I hope those things are clear. Let me go to another question. And the person that asked the question about Antipas also asked this question. And I really want to get this question. Because you know what I've been preaching about the Antichrist. How many have been here the last few Wednesdays and I talked about the abomination of desolation spoken of Daniel the prophet who will go into the temple of God. Now, Antoinette, a couple Wednesdays ago, you were a little bit shook over this, so I'm going to kind of clear that up, okay? I'm going to talk about the temples that's going to be built. This person that asked me said that he had always thought that the tribulation temple and the millennial temple was the same thing. You hear me? Well, I want to say it actually is not the same thing. Now, the tribulation period, temple. I do not have the dimensions of it. I just know it's going to be built. Now, here's why I can prove it's going to be built. Turn your Bible. Turn your Bible. I'm going to show you two verses. Turn your Bible to 2 Thessalonians 2. When you get there, say amen. Hello? That's, if you're there, say amen. Raise your hand if you're there. Are you there? Online, are you there? I hope you got your Bibles. Quit drinking your coffee and get your Bible open. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Let no man deceive you. Who's the deceiver? By any means. For that day shall not come. What day? When the Lord comes. Except they're becoming a fallen away first. Ladies and gentlemen, you said it in your message tonight. I said a little bit when I first started preaching. There's a great falling away right now. Folk don't want to come to church anymore. Folk don't want to hear the Bible anymore. Folks don't want to shout anymore. Folks don't want to praise God anymore. The majority, I'm not talking about this church, but I'm telling you, the majority of Christians, they are deader than a hammer and could care less about church. I'm trying. Let no man deceive you, but there's going to be a great falling away first. There is, right? Hey, by the way, we're seeing that now. Amen. There's churches in this area used to preach the Bible. They don't no more. They used to have church on Sunday night. They don't anymore. They used to have Wednesday service. They don't anymore. They become a social club. And I want y'all to look at me. If you want this church, and by the way, I'm training this young staff to follow after my footsteps and keep this thing in the same route it's been in. Amen. Thank you, Lord. As long as I'm breathing air, I'm keeping her in the straight and narrow. Somebody help me preach. Amen. I'm not going to compromise. I'm too old for that. Right. Amen. Amen. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a what? Fallen away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalted himself all above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he, as God, setteth in the what? Setteth in the what? Right? He setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, the Bible just said when the Antichrist is here, there's going to be a temple. There's not a temple now. And that is the tribulation temple. You say, where's it going to be at? I believe it's going to be exactly where it was and right there on the Temple Mount. I believe that. That's, it does not give the design of that particular temple. But I will tell you this, Chad. We'll take them to a museum that they've got the candlestick for the new temple in that museum that we'll take you that they have right now ready to put in that temple when the temple's built. It's going to get built. Somebody asked me when. I'm not sure when. It'll be somewhere between now and the tribulation period or the middle of the tribulation period. That's when he's going to stand in the middle of the temple and claim himself to be God. And he's going to offer a boar sacrifice, a sacrifice of a pig and deface the temple. Now, that's not the temple of heaven. That's not where God is. That is a temple here on earth that's going to be rebuilt. Now, the question was given me was, Preacher Smith, is this the, I always thought that it was the same temple. It's not. It's not the same temple, and I'm going to prove that. Now, here's what I'm going to do. When I get over to the millennial reign, I am going to do something I've never done at this church. I'm going to teach the millennial reign to you with more clarity and deepness than I've ever done. But tonight, just for sake of a short answer, I'm going to just give you a short answer. It won't be real short, but it's going to be, if you got a question, you ask it. Now, when Jesus Christ returns back, he's coming. And he's coming. He's coming at the rapture before the tribulation. That's the first phase. But then he's coming with the church at the end of the tribulation. And Revelation, turn over. I just want y'all to see this. Turn over to Revelation chapter 20. If you got your Bibles, turn over. Hurry. I want to show you something. I'll get to this temple in a moment, but I want to show you this. Because there's some people, Chad, don't even believe in a literal 1,000-year millennial reign. And by the way, I'll tell you some of the faiths don't believe it. They're going to get mad at me for exposing them, but I don't really care tonight. The Church of God, they don't believe it. The Anderson Church of God, they do not believe it. They're amillennialists. They just believe he's coming back, and he puts the sheep on one side and the goats on one side, and that's it. That's not it. And they don't teach the whole Bible. The Nazarenes don't teach it right. Oh, amen anyway. I'm not mad at that. I'm not talking about Nazarenes individually. I'm talking about their doctrine. Are y'all listening to me? Somebody, hey, by the way, you should have, why do you teach it? Because it's in the Bible. Let me read it. I want everybody to look at chapter 20. And I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key. This is after the second coming of Christ, of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him. Church, say it. What is 1,000 years, Chad? A millennial. Let's go on. And he cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should be sealed or should deceive the nations no more till the what? 1,000 years should be fulfilled. That's twice. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them remember them souls we've been talking about? That were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had their received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. I believe those tribulation saints will get the resurrection at the end of the tribulation. Good preacher. There's 1,000 years again. And the rest of the dead shall live not again until the what? Was fulfilled. And then verse 6, blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. On such the second death had no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall what? Reign with him what? And when the, wait a minute. Well, how many of y'all are convinced at least that there's going to be 1,000-year period here? Well, the devil's going to be put in the bottomless pit and put on a chain. Now, there's some false doctrine right now. Hey, you know, there's one group, guy used to come here, he believes this way. They believe the devil's bound right now. And we're getting this thing Christianized. We're going to Christianize the world, and then Jesus is going to come back at the end of the 1,000-year period. That's what they call postmillennialists. I know folks are postmillennialists. A lot of Calvinists are postmillennialists. Hello. I am straight tonight. Y'all with me? Now, let me say something to you. What are we going to do here? Hocus pocus, no 1,000 years. It's gone. That is spiritualized. It's symbolic. It's not really, really, really that. Well, now, wait a minute. I believe in the literal interpretation of the Scripture. Amen. And I believe if it said it was 1,000 years, it's 1,000 years. By the way, it's mentioned over in Isaiah where it talked about a lamb will lay down with a lion. It's mentioned several times. And during this 1,000 years, there's going to be what is called, and let me show you in the Bible, a millennial temple. Y'all with me? By the way, I was asked, was tribulation and the millennial temple the same? Absolutely not. The size of the millennial temple is much larger than that of the temple of Solomon, Zerubbabel, and Herod. Much larger. Now, if you want to find this millennial reign and millennial temple, it's found in chapter 40 and 42, and from 40 to 50, it talks about the millennial reign. Now, in chapter Ezekiel 43:7 talks about the place of my throne. Now, I could go back and refer it. I'm going to give you the passages, let you go back for time's sake. But Ezekiel 42:15 through 20, it talks about this temple. Now, this is amazing. I want y'all to hear how big it is. How big it is. The temple is 500 reeds. How many of y'all know what 500 reeds is? Well, a reed is 10 feet. Okay? So 10 times 500. And on each side. So it's 5,000, 5,000, 5,000, 5,000. That means it's 1 mile square. Hello? The original temple was not 1 mile square. Now, I'm going to say something to you. Look at me, boy. I know this might be a little deep, but I can't help it. I like it. Let me say something to you. That temple would not fit over there right now. Can't fit. You can't put that temple over there where it was. Too big. That's not even talking about the outer courts. Oh, boy, I'm starting to get warmed up here. Let me explain something to you. There is going to be some geographical changes. Now, I don't want to use this as an example, but the earthquake over in Turkey, how many remember there's a big, some big old, I don't know what you would call it, but like a valley over there where that earthquake happened? There's some geographical changes. By the way, when the Lord comes back, and I may read these verses. Will y'all do me a favor? Ooh, glory. They ask a question. I'm just answering it. Turn to Zechariah for a moment. Turn to Zechariah. That's in the Old Testament. Zechariah. When you get there, say amen. Amen. And go to the 14th chapter of Zechariah. I want to show you three things. Did I say something about geographical changes? Well, they will be. Well, let me explain one. How many's been to Israel with me already? Okay. Remember what? Did I not take you up to Mount of Olives? Right? You were there. You may have got on a camel up there. I don't know. You didn't get on the camel. Yes, you did. Got a picture of you. But now listen to this. Go to Zechariah 14 and 4 and 5. Let me show you this. Because the Jerusalem during the millennial will be up on a high mountain, and there will be the holy mountain, and it's going to be massive. And I'm going to show you. I just want to show it to you. Look at Zechariah 14, 4 and 5. If you're there, say amen. Amen. It says, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the what? Where, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst there of toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall be removed toward the north and half of it toward the south. How many of you agree with me? That's a geographical change. Oh, Lord, I'm stuck. Look at verse number 8. Let's see more. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of it toward the former sea, that's the Mediterranean, and half of it to the hinder sea. I think that's the Dead Sea, but that's where they're going. in the summer and the winter shall it be. Geographical change. Are y'all with me? Look at verse number 10. And all the land shall be turned as a plain from Gibeah to Rimmah, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be left up, and the inhabitants in her place from Virginia, from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, and unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hanau unto the king's winepress. Now, Jerusalem will be raised up. Now, in the book of Ezekiel, it describes it. It's going to be raised up in a high mark. And you know how big Jerusalem will be during that time? It will be 50 miles times 50 miles, or 2,500 square miles. That's how big Jerusalem's going to be. Now, I just done some study. Is it okay for me to do some study? I love this. I love it, love it, love it, love it. Listen. The northern section of Jerusalem will be 50 times 20 miles. The center, and by the way, the center of Jerusalem will be 1 square mile, and that will be where the temple's put. The southern section will be 50 times 10 miles. And then, listen to this. And then there'll be a 10 by 10 place, 10 mile square place, Chad, where they'll grow food for the city. Wow. You sure where'd you get that from the Bible? From studying? Is that all right? So I think I answered the question, didn't I? The tribulation temple is not the same as the millennial temple. And you might say, when will the tribulation temple be destroyed? When Jesus Christ comes back with that rod of iron and destroys the Antichrist and the false prophet and all those nations, he'll destroy, because let me tell you, he won't leave anything standing that is defiled. And since the Antichrist stepped in that temple and defiled that tribulation temple, it will be destroyed, but it will be rebuilt, but big. Whoa! Can you imagine that city being 50 miles by 50 miles and right in dab in the middle of 1 mile square? And that's where the new temple, larger, bigger, and more fabulous than ever, be. Now, I got a problem. I didn't get all the questions answered. Now, I got 1 minute and 30 seconds. Anybody got a question? Because I got to get some air. Who's I do? Right there. I got to get air. Where's my water?
Oh, yeah, right.
Go ahead.
Okay. During the millennial reign, you said there would be children born, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You want to know where they come from?
No. Will...
That didn't come out right, really. No, hold on. Oh, Lord.
Forget it.
Oh, Lord. Here it is. No, what I meant by where they come from is not how they were born. There's going to be a goat and sheep nations. The sheep nations will go into the millennial and have children. And you know, the Bible said that some of them will even die at 100 by accidental death, because nobody will die of disease during the millennium. Now, go ahead.
Will they have a chance to be saved?
They will have a chance to be saved. And I'm glad you brought that up. But see, let me ask you this question. You ever thought about this? Now, I said there's going to be a millennial temple, and Christ's going to be here ruling and reigning. Well, why do we need a temple? Why in the world is there a temple in the first place? Ladies and gentlemen, there are going to be sacrifices again in the temple. But not a sin offering. Because the sin offering has already been done by Christ. But those new sacrifices will be for those people that were born during the millennial that will point back to the work of the cross. And they'll have a chance to be saved. But here's the sad thing. The human flesh is still wicked and defiled, because at the end of the millennial, the devil deceived many of them. And that's when fire will come out from heaven and destroy them.
But I thought the devil was locked up during that time.
At the end of the millennial, he's loose.
Oh, the end of it. Okay.
End of it. Okay. See, he's locked up. Now, can you think of this, Nancy? Can you think of a place where there's no devil? No devil. And they're there, and Christ is reigning, and they're seeing those sacrifices, and they still reject God. That shows you how depraved we are. And that shows you, without the gospel being preached and without the Holy Spirit convicted, there's no salvation. And even at the end of that millennium, there'll be people reject God and die and go to hell. And the devil won't be there until the end. And they lose him for a short season. And that's when God destroys them all and puts him, the false prophet, in the lake of fire. Any other questions? I'm done. Okay, here, right here. I believe his spirit is, but I don't believe he's here yet, but he could be on the scene. No, I don't know who he is. Now, I don't want to get over your head. I do believe he's a Jew. And I'm almost convinced he's from the line of Dan, but that's just me. That's Smithology. Somebody else got a question? I'm done. I got to quit. Hurry up, Antoinette.
Oh, sorry.
Is he here now? Does he walk the earth now? I'm worried.
The Antichrist is not here now, Antoinette, but his spirit is here now. I'm not saying there's not somebody getting ready to be the Antichrist. I don't know that. But he's not revealed now. It won't be revealed until the church is taken out and the tribulation period starts. So he's not here in Revelation. We don't know who he is.
If the devil's locked up in chains and he's not getting...
That's during the millennial now, not now. He's not in chains now. That's in the future.
Okay.
All right. Look at me, Antoinette. Let me show you what's going to happen. Listen, we're living in the church period. Okay? Church. In a little bit, we're going to be raptured. Then there'll be a 7-year tribulation. Then we come back on white horses, establish the millennial reign, throw the devil into the bottomless pit with a chain on him. He stays there 1,000 years. People will still have babies, not us, but people will have babies and there'll be birth, but they'll have to face that devil one more time, and they'll still reject God. Shows you how to pray we really are. Okay? All minds clear? If you want some questions answered, just go to jsmith@taysvalleybaptist.com and put them on there. Stan, how many learned something tonight? I think my AFib done went crazy here. I do want y'all to know where babies come from, okay? Lord. Is it all right next week to finish the few questions I got and go on? But if you have some questions, put them online this week so I can answer them for you. Hey, I'm not going to tell who done them, but I am going to teach them. Okay. Father, we love you. Thank you for our time together. I hope folks got something out of the teaching. And Lord, thank you for your love for us. You look beyond our faults, hardly. We're going out of here soon. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Good night.